Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Conan the Barbarian for U.S. President. Conan is the chosen candidate for the Sumerian Party and is the only candidate with the blessings of Crom. Want a candidate with executive experience? Conan was a great king of Aqualonia. Need a candidate who deals from strength? Conan promises to crush our enemies, see them driven before us, and hear the lamentations of their women. It's time to get America back on track to Crom's way of life. Vote Conan.
It is January 16th, 2016. We're back with another edition of the Good Old Gamers Podcast, Southern Fried Retro Gaming. I'm your host, Lyle McClendon. I'm here with our other host, longtime partner, best friend, Brandon Gentry.
Go fuck yourself, everyone. Vote Conan.
Vote Conan. Crom's will be done. 100%. We're coming at you again. Go ahead and tell you this week, we're not drunk yet.
Yet. I got a bottle of Fireball in my hand.
I have a bottle of Fireball as well.
I can't get as sauce as it was. I was too drunk last week. I'm sorry, people.
Last week, though, that was a fun episode for as drunken of a stupor as it was.
And our longest episode.
Indeed. It was longer than another episode we did long ago.
Shall not be mentioned.
Shall not be mentioned. Swept underneath the rug. Habeas corpus. Rigor mortis. But anywho, we'll kick it off as always, like we do, with a little bit of news for you. Apparently, The Witcher 3 DLC will actually be better than the game itself.
That tells me nothing, because I still haven't played it.
Me neither. I've watched people play it, but I might get, you know, figuratively crucified for this. I've never played The Witcher 2, nor The Witcher.
I own them. I've owned them for years. Still haven't played them.
Never played any of them. So I've heard I'm missing things, though. I've heard The Witcher 3 is great, but I just don't really have that much time. I mean, fuck, I'm still playing Fallout 4, and I got it back in November.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have enough time to invest that much into a game like that.
Yeah, I'm finding that more and more. Like, I was really pumped for Blade and Soul. By the time this podcast is out, Blade and Soul, the MMO, is going to hit, and I love the game from what I've played of it, but I ain't got the time for that shit anymore. It sucks. I used to be able to dump my life into an MMO, and now I was like, I can play it for an hour and
life is the real MMO now.
It is. So
it's pretty lame.
It's fucking lame.
But it's a part of it. It happens.
Yep.
Some of the first screenshots for TMNT Mutants in Manhattan has been released.
Say, they're pretty sweet.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a little bit sickly. I'm congested and such. But it's made by Platinum Games. It's coming out for Xbox 360 and Xbox One. And has an M rating in Australia.
Which Australia is kind of sticklers, so.
That's true. Hopefully it sticks here for some good violence. Like, I would like to see a grown-up Ninja Turtles games. A lot of people don't realize, like, the Ninja Turtles comics and shit. Those weren't for kids initially.
Yeah.
But pretty exciting news. Platinum Games is developing it.
Saw a Pokken tournament. It's confirmed for release March 18th.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Another reason to get the Wii U.
Yeah, Pokemon Tekken. Why wouldn't you want to play that?
Have you seen the goofy controller they have for it, though?
No,
there's
I
an
haven't.
Official Pokken
controller. Oh, yes, I have. It looks so bare bones and basic.
Yeah. I don't see myself. I'm sure they're going to ask an exorbitant amount of money for it, and I don't see myself paying that.
It'd be 50 or 60 bucks.
You can I can pay it. 20 bucks for a classic controller. 20 bucks or less for a classic controller, and it'll strap its ass. So, fuck that.
Did you see? Okay, well, what I'm about to say, this is going to make you feel really old. Pokemon turns 20 this year.
Nice.
Did you see the new 3DS Nintendo just announced they're releasing?
Yeah, yeah, the red and blue one.
Should be a reason for you to buy a 3DS.
Yeah, I'd like to, but we're going to be purchasing another house of our own and all that good stuff.
That's so more important.
Yes.
That's what I've just been in the process of doing.
Mm-hmm.
The listener can't really see the shit before us right now, but...
But maybe can hear.
Yeah. Listen to the sounds of a hoarder with boxes upon boxes in his house. It's stacked. But, Bayonetta 2 is getting re-released as a standalone.
That's sweet. To give people access to 2. I wanted to talk about Bayonetta 2. This gives me a good segue.
Go for it.
I just beat it. And, I've always been a big fan of hack and slashes because they're like, beat 'em ups have died, like, because arcades have died.
Hack and slash is the,
it's the new
is beat-em-up. The beat 'em up.
It's the modern version of a beat 'em up. So I love hack and slashes, and Bayonetta 2 is now my new favorite hack and slash. If I had to rate it on a scale of
good
one,
job,
to
Sega.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it a 99.
Wow.
Yeah. The only reason it
that's really fucking impressive coming from you.
Yeah. The only reason I don't give it 100 is because the final boss isn't quite as epic as Bayonetta 1. Bayonetta 2 takes everything Bayonetta 1 did and makes it way better. The combat's way smoother. It doesn't punish you for using items. Like, Bayonetta 1 gave you the option of crafting items, and then it punished you for using them. So it's like, why even have this in the game? 2 doesn't do that. It's just fucking awesome. The story is just over the top awesome.
You have to play as a hot chick that destroys shit.
Yeah, the more of her power she uses, the more naked she gets.
Booyah.
But it was beyond that. The story is like it's very anime-ish. I would say for those who know what I'm talking about, it'd be like Constantine meets Trigun. It's pretty sweet. I want to talk about some of it without spoiling it. Just explain how over the top it is. Towards the end of the first game, you play as Jean, which is like Bayonetta's witch sister. We have an invasion.
We do. I'm sorry. I'm trying to... My cat is standing on top of an arcade cabinet. You must leave. Thank you. Sorry.
All right. Anyways, towards the end of the first game, you play as Jean, who is like Bayonetta's witch, not biological sister, but sister in witchhood or whatever. And Bayonetta's getting launched on a rocket into space. She's kind of imprisoned in this thing that's like the size of the Statue of Liberty. So Jean comes to her rescue, and you literally ride a motorcycle up a rocket as it's being launched into space, and you're like making jumps from the pieces out there as they're getting separated.
Well, that's everyday life in Japan, though, isn't
it? But this is so badass, literally riding a motorcycle into space.
That alone just sold me on the game.
And towards the end of the second one, you are surfing on an F-15 fighter flying towards a mountain while you're like fighting off hordes of angels and demons. Like, Jean is piloting the F-15, Bayonetta's on top, and another guy on top. I'm not going to say who it is because it could be spoilers. But
Could be
spoilers. It's not a huge spoiler, but it'd be a spoiler. But either way, you actually fire the F-15, and then you have an attack button, which is one of them's using a sword, another one's shooting like magical missiles. It's just so over the top and awesome. Bayonetta 2 also has some great like kaiju moments, because Bayonetta can summon huge ass demons. Well, and 2, so can some of the characters you fight against. So not only are you fighting the other character, but it'll go into scenes where you're some big ass summon demons fighting their big ass summon angel and shit. So you're like pummeling their big ass angel with your big ass demon, and it's just so badass.
So is, I don't know anything about the games. Is Bayonetta the bad guy?
No. Even though she's like she's a demon, she's a witch.
She's still the good.
She sold her soul.
She's the heroine.
Yeah, she sold her soul to the devil. And
I mean,
2,
haven't we all?
And all of 1, you're fighting angels. 2's angels and demons, so it gets a little more interesting. Yes, you go through hell in part of it, so it's just so over the top and awesome. I can't say enough about Bayonetta.
I'm going to pick it up. Hopefully I can find the copy like you got. It's got one and two.
Yeah.
Without paying fucking $100+ for it.
You could get them both.
See last week's episode.
Yeah. If you just have to have them to play without the physical copy, you can get the DLC or the digital version, both one and two for $60.
Well, you can also, Bayonetta's also on PlayStation 3.
And 360.
And 360 as and this, well.
The Bayonetta 1 is only on like $12 or so for those. Can't get two for those. Two is Wii U only.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Nintendo's got that in their bag now.
That's cool.
That's a Nintendo character.
Dude, it still fucking blows my mind completely to see Sega games. Even though it's been years. It's been happening for years.
Oh, yeah.
It still just really blows my tiny little mind a little bit to see Sega shit on Nintendo.
Yeah.
See, what Sonic in fucking Smash Brothers fighting Mario throws me for... Because that is lore that we spoke about on fucking playgrounds when we were kids. You know, like, how cool would it be to see Mario and Sonic? Oh, that'll never happen. Yep. Bullshit. It did.
It happened. One cool thing, like, it wasn't quite an Easter egg because it wasn't hidden, but on Bayonetta 1, it starts off in a, it's like in a cinematic mode, and it shows like this nun lady, like over a casket at a cemetery, and then there's a guy, two guys talking behind her, and he can tell they know a lot of shit about what's going on, but you don't yet. They're talking about the guy who's buried, and he's Eggman is who they're calling him. So it's just a cool throwback to that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So not only are they talking about how Eggman's been buried and how everyone will basically shit their pants if he comes back, but the currency in Bayonetta 1 and 2 are Halos, which look just like the rings in Sonic. I mean, they use the same fucking model and everything.
Sega, you sly dogs.
Yeah.
You.
And so it's got some cool throwbacks, man. Like that. And the Wii version of Bayonetta 1, it has some costumes, special costumes. He can be dressed up as, I think, Mario, Luigi, or Peach, and they all have their own special little thing. He could also be, what was it? Samus was one, and Link.
And Bayonetta.
Yeah, Bayonetta 1 and Wii U. Wii U.
And, dude, okay, that blows my mind in another sense. Bayonetta's M-rated, is it not?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me that they let Mario and Link and all that...
And then in 2...
references to them even appear in an M game, because that's something that wouldn't have happened with Nintendo back in the day either, you know?
2 also has them, but you don't start off with that. You have to unlock them, but one of the secret weapons in 2, I haven't unlocked it yet, but you get a... what was it, the chomps that's on the chain to Mario?
Yeah.
It's chained to your leg, and it looks badass as shit.
Oh, dude, that's cool as shit.
I think it's a throwback to Mario 64, the way it looks. It doesn't look like modern shit.
Like the Machomp where you gotta stomp the middle pole to release it.
That's what it looks like. And while you're wearing it, Bayonetta's wearing a Mario hat with a B on the hat, and she has like this looks like a tape on mustache on her. So that's pretty awesome.
I'm gonna get that shit. That sounds amazing.
Those games are sweet.
I'm really excited for the Zelda remasters coming out for Wii U. You can tell we've kind of become Wii U fanboys.
We have.
It's okay, though.
It's a great system now,
It's a
finally.
Great feeling to actually be excited about something Nintendo-related for once.
Yeah.
That's like it's the ultimate throwback to nostalgia and childhood, you know? That's what I'm hoping, which kind of leads me into my little next segment. Apparently, we may get the Nintendo NX this year.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that they were planning on shipping close to 15 million of them.
Why so fucking many?
I don't know. That's more than the Wii U was sold in its entire course.
15 million is that's a lot of consoles. Like, how long did it take PS4 and Xbox One? I wonder.
PS4 is just now like what, 30 million, something like that, worldwide.
Yeah, and they've been out for almost 3 years now.
I say this is kind of being almost a Hail Mary for Nintendo.
Do you think maybe they've got something that's just so fucking good, though? They're like, people's going to want it.
I think they think that. Whether or not that's the truth, I don't know. That my main stick-up is that fucking controller they patented.
I don't want a complete touchscreen controller, because if you've ever tried playing a game on your fucking cell phone or tablet, it's almost impossible.
For those who aren't up to speed, Nintendo patented a controller. It has, like, I think, a joystick. Did it have a not had some buttons?
I didn't think it had any.
Yeah, it had the a couple physical. I think it had two physical buttons and maybe either a joystick or a D-pad or both. I don't recall. But that was it. And everything else was going to be touch-based.
For some reason, I thought the whole thing was touch-based.
No, there's a couple.
I was just like, that's terrible.
It was very sparingly used. If that's the main controller, it's going to suck because one of Nintendo's strong points has always been platformers. And that's the one game you don't use with touch controls at all. I mean, some games can work okay with touch controls, like Angry Birds, if you can call that a game.
Yeah, try playing fucking Mario or Sonic you with can't. Touch controls. I have Sonic CD on my tablet, and it's playable, but it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
I have a bad problem. I don't have that button to, like, to feel, to lead with.
Right.
And, you don't like, have that you go to right, response. And you just keep going fucking right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta have that tactical feedback.
You can hear me wheezing on the microphone if I take a deep enough breath.
More Nintendo news. I saw that Star Fox Zero may be delayed until July 15th. It was supposed to come out April 22nd. There's no official word on it, but there's a French retailer, Micromania. They listed it as a July 15th release. And that would normally be treated as a straight-up rumor, but they have a history of doing this, like calling the actual release date before anyone announces it. So that kind of sucks to me because I was really looking forward to Star Fox Zero.
Do you think maybe they're kind of prepping it for like a cross release?
Maybe. It might be where it's released on Wii U for a few months and NX drops and it's a launch title. That and the next Zelda probably.
I know the next Zelda is going to be cross-platform because that's typical Nintendo.
I think it'll be Wii U first and then, like, immediately after NX.
That's what my mouth is savory for, like, the most.
Yeah. I still haven't had my hands on Skyward Sword, but I know they're eventually going to do an HD remake.
Skyward Sword is the only one I haven't, the only one I don't own out of the entire series, other than the CDI games.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we'll ever get to cover because I don't know the first person in the fucking world. Not even, like, gaming god gurus that we know that, you know, own a bunch of companies that even have a CDI.
Yeah. Found some kind of shady news. Disney is increasing its grasp upon our
You told me this. God.
Disney has bought, or not bought, he's hired, they've hired PewDiePie and pretty much bought
Walt Disney himself.
Yeah, they bought PewDiePie's Maker Studios, which is like him and his affiliates on YouTube. They're starting their own network of YouTube channels called Revel Mode. And all I can say is, PewDiePie sucked already, even though he's number
Are they going to play fucking Disney games?
Probably just games. I don't think Disney has a big enough library for that. It's probably going to be like
Let's play of Aladdin for Genesis.
Yeah. Nah, PewDiePie's too shitty to play something like that. It'd have to be like Minecraft or something like that.
Dude, I can't stand PewDiePie, man.
Me either. I don't understand how he's gotten to number one, but I guess by being so fucking annoying.
I'm just like, I've seen a few, you know, I've watched some of his episodes. And the way he talks and acts and shit. And I'm just like, how in the fuck do you have 5 million people that watch this shit?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean there's 5 million plus people that are this entertained by this bullshit on the fucking planet?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the same thing could be said about our podcast, I guess. Yeah. But,
they bought them for $500 million.
$500 million?
$500 million. That's ridiculous. So,
PewDiePie, not 50 million.
No, 500.
Half
a billion.
That is half a billion.
Yeah. Or according to Facebook, that'd be 30 million per person.
If you. That's one thing I love. Somebody was like, oh, it's $4. $4.3 million. I'm like, or it's $4.33. Period.
Yeah. Division, man. It's not hard.
Well, I was just kind of like, if everybody gets $4.33, you can buy a goddamn calculator.
Yeah.
Metroid Zero Mission is coming to Virtual Console and Wii U.
Nice.
It's a great one. It's if you haven't played it, it was the Game Boy Advance release, but it's a remake essentially of the first Metroid. Updated graphics and story and boss fights and all that shit. It's good stuff.
I never played it. The updated graphics is more like Super Nintendo graphics, or
yes, okay. Very. It's very Super Metroidish. It's releasing for $7.99 on Virtual Console.
Pretty sweet. I only got one last bit of news, but I figure I'd close it out. You got anything else?
All I got is Snoop Dogg is pissed off at Xbox, and he told Bill Gates they need to get their shit together and get Xbox Live online, and he's switching to PlayStation 4.
I honestly don't see Snoop Dogg as being someone who'd have to switch. Like, he probably has both of them.
Well, fuck yeah, he's Snoop Dogg. Like, I would have like 30 each of them for no fucking reason.
Yeah. I smoked one in a blunt yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I ground this motherfucker up, right? I know Snoop Dogg doesn't sound like that, but he's like, I ground that motherfucker up and smoked it.
I turned my Xbox One into a bong.
Hey, do you remember that PlayStation commercial when, I can't remember if it was PS2 or PS3, but PlayStation, I think it was PS3, had a commercial that was the PlayStation 9. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
It was a future, like in the future, futuristic. And this dude had like a little, like, snow globe looking thing that said PS9 on it. And you open it and inhale these little molecules out of it and it puts you in the game.
Huh.
And I was just, that's kind of what I thought about, like, when I seen that. What do you got?
What's your last bit? The New York Toy Fair starts February 13th. Where
I used to get such a hard on for the Toy Fair, man.
It's where the retro VGS is going to have a functioning debut. So we're going to see it.
Or actually, the Coleco.
Yeah. Yes.
Chameleon.
Coleco Chameleon. My bad.
Same thing.
I see so many headlines. It's like Coleco is back with a new console. I'm like, it's
not Coleco. We done reported on this shit months ago, you asshat.
Yeah.
It's called Something Went Wrong, and it got picked up and got changed.
So many people think it's actually Coleco, like the old Coleco company, and they bought the name.
That's it. There is nobody from fucking Coleco working on that, no. I'm pretty sure.
And that's fine with me, but I hate all this clickbait reporting. Oh my god, ColecoVision's back!
We're going to try to nab another interview with Mike Kennedy.
Yeah.
I'd like to pick his brain, come closer to when this shit goes released.
I will say it's probably one of the main reasons they did it. And it was smart, because they got attention that they didn't get.
Fuck yeah. It's incredibly smart.
They both separated themselves from the Indiegogo failure and brought new attention to themselves. Because clickbait sites are so profuse now. So every other post you see on Facebook is some clickbait bullshit that post shit like that.
You want to see which celebrities died of drug abuse? Click here.
And you click on it, and it's just, you might see what you
Amy Winehouse to see. Died. Click next page, and you click next page, and it's like, you should try Noxzema next.
Yeah.
And clear your face up. But then Kurt Cobain died. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. I hate clickbait, but yeah, it's smarter than for using that though. So
it's kind of cool. I mean, you know, when we interviewed Mike Kennedy, like one of the main things he was talking about is giving you that old feeling again. You know,
yeah,
of having an old game, and that's a smart move to attach Coleco to it.
Yeah, and I think something he said rings truer today than ever from what you was telling me, how you try to boot up your Xbox One without internet, couldn't even play your fucking game.
Yeah, for the people that don't know, I mean, we've been talking about it. I've moved houses. I've been here for a full week now, and my internet provider has dodged me all week, so therefore my internet's not hooked up yet. And sat down to play a good game earlier, and it needed to update, and needless to say, I haven't played any fucking games today. So,
yeah, that's
the only one. Actually, I take that back. I played a little bit of Tomb Raider, the new one, because it did not need updating. It was one of the only ones I had.
That's where I say the plus and minuses. The huge plus of it's going to be the console it is 30 years from now. I like that. But the fact that you can't get things like free DLC for Shovel Knight, things like that, they're going to have to figure out, I think, in order to make it viable, to where you could like get an SD card and plug it in there with a patch.
That's what I was going to say. It's probably going to have an SD card slot where you can
eventually patch everything. That would serve a dual purpose. Even if they don't release it, modders are going to come up with a way to run emulators and shit on that shit. So you'll be able to, you know, boot it up, play your old Super Nintendo games and stuff like that. But
I'll probably still buy one, but here's one thing I do want to say about it. Don't make it fucking $300.
No, that's steep.
Nobody is going to pay $300 to step back in time when you can pay $300 and step into the future and buy a next-gen console.
Yeah.
$150, I mean, $200, great. I'd pay $200 for one.
That's the console. Let's look at what $300 can get us in retro consoles. You get you a Retron 5, which is a NES, SNES, Genesis. You could potentially be a Master System with the converter.
What is NES, SNES, Genesis, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Famicom, because it can play Japanese shit. Famicom, Mega Drive, Master System with a converter.
Yes.
Super Famicom.
So it's like nine.
Yeah, technically like nine consoles in one.
And those are like 150, 200.
I think they're about 150, I think.
So with the other half, he gets you a Dreamcast, dirt cheap, PlayStation 1, Saturn.
You could buy a shit ton of retro consoles for $300.
Yeah, and you know, that's what people, you know, that's what this is all about. People want to play retro games. Even though these are new retro games, there's also the PC that plays the same ones. So, I mean, they got to get the price point. And I think they will. I think that's what they've been working on. PC Master Race.
PC Masturbators.
Well, yeah, we masturbate too. Where do you look on Pornhub?
Actually, I know we're past the news segment, but I did read over the holiday one of the news things. PS4 people look at Pornhub more than Xbox owners do.
You mentioned that the last time, but you triggered your memory.
I was. It was kind of a combined effort.
Yep.
But, yeah. I guess that's it for news then, right? Good night.
That's it. Podcast over.
Yep.
See y'all later.
We're done. That's what we're doing for 2016. Small bursts. Nothing else.
That's all I ever do in bed.
Word.
I ain't got time for that shit. I gotta get up for work. Three pumps, I'm done.
My knees get tired and I can't breathe as is. I'm like, I'm always like, ugh, my lungs are collapsing.
Just suck it. Let me go to sleep.
I'm glad we're married. I wouldn't be saying that if I was on the prowl and single. I'd be like, I'm a fuck machine. Hours on end.
With some help from Big Daddy V.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have heart problems.
Yeah.
So, what segment should we do next?
Well, I ain't really got another statement except to close with. So, unless you do, let's go to our games of the week. Because since we're not doing a typical genre / system, you know, rundown, I was going to talk about Earthbound Beginnings. You want to go out of that, or do you have an arcade or a con?
Are we going to do the main segment?
Yeah.
I got an arcade arcana.
Okay.
I can throw in real quick. The first arcade arcana of 2016 is one of my favorites, based on one of my favorite movies of all time. It only came out 4 years after the movie did, but it's Aliens by Konami. Yes. Yes. If you don't know, Aliens is a 1990, it's a side-scrolling shooter, like non-stop fucking shooting. And it was based on the 1986 movie of the same name, of course. The game, though, was designed by S. Okamoto and his team.
I know who that is.
Me too. But anyways, the storyline of the game, it's side-scrolling shooter, so
kill some fucking aliens.
Yeah, exactly. Walk left, right, and you don't have a jump button. You have two buttons, though. You can stand up and shoot, standing erect, or you can hit a button and
correct.
You can like you can stand and shoot, or you can crouch and shoot. Standing shooting is very helpful for like your run of the mill aliens, you know, your normal xenomorphs. Crouching shooting is good for chest bursters and face huggers. Shit like that. The storyline pretty much is same as the movie Hadley's Hope.
Hold on. My alien is up to snuff. What's the difference between face huggers and chest bursters?
Okay. Face huggers are the little, the first stage gestation creatures. They're the the little hand looking things with the big tail, that jump on your face. They implant
they rape
the
your
egg.
Face.
They, yeah. They fuck your mouth and put a alien egg in your throat. The alien egg gestates into a chest burster, and the chest burster is an infantile xenomorph, the one that bursts through the chest.
That's the name for the thing that bursts out. Okay, I got you now.
Yeah. Good stuff. I can let you borrow the Alien Quadrilogy on Blu-ray if you'd like.
Sounds so badass.
It does. But the storyline is just like the movie. Hadley's Hope is like a settlement on LV... Y'all don't get too mad at me as I might get this wrong, but I think it's LV-426 is the planet in Aliens.
I ain't no way I could remember that, so you're good.
I'm hard on it. But anyways, Hadley's Hope is a settlement there, and they lose contact with fucking Weyland-Yutani, which is the company throughout the Alien movies and Prometheus and all that. So the Marines actually go in, led by Ripley, to investigate because they think xenomorph shit might be happening, but they don't know. But Ripley, of course, is the only person on the planet that's dealt with them. And at this point, like, Ridley's been in space for like 60 fucking years in hyperspace or hypersleep when they find her.
Yeah.
You know, so
I like how,
like, her daughter's already grown old and died and shit by the time they find her. Like, just kind of really weird.
I really love how, because of the success of the movie, Ripley turned from a just like a survivor. What was her job on the original
in the Alien?
Yeah, what was her first? She's basically like a loading bay person, wasn't she?
No. Fuck, Brandon, that sucks, because I'm a big fan of them, and I can't remember.
She was a badass, though.
So. No. She's like a fucking co-pilot or something like that.
Yeah. Something like me or you would be doing.
She's
in the future,
not badass at all. I mean, she is badass and alien, but she's not like walk in with a goddamn flamethrower and a pulse rifle, kill the queen and destroy everything badass. She's like,
she rose to the occasion.
Fear happens fucking to survive. Fear helps her get by.
Yeah. So like they turned her from that into like this super badass, like, oh, she's gonna lead her army.
I love that though. Like, in my opinion, and a lot of people would disagree with this, Aliens is the best sequel ever made, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
You know, a lot of people say Terminator 2, Empire Strikes Back. I love it because Alien is about isolation. You know, these people are on a ship with one alien in space. No one can hear you scream.
Yep.
That kind of shit. Aliens is a straight out fucking war movie. It is like Marines fighting aliens, you know, to the T, on their turf. The elements are updated. Which, a funny thing about sequels, since we're talking about it, people say Terminator 2 is the best sequel made by James Cameron, who also made Aliens.
Yeah.
So, the guy knows his fucking sequel shit.
Yeah.
It's, I could talk all night about Aliens. That's like, Aliens is one of my favorite, most favorite movies of all time. I've seen that shit like 100 times. And they really screwed the pooch, though, with Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. I'll go ahead and say that.
I just found that whole...
I liked Alien Resurrection, okay, just because the cheesy, just bullshittiness of it. But Alien 3...
I just love that whole line of logic, though, that, like... I understand why they did it, because it's a movie, and they wanted to keep their main character. But just the logic of... she survived this horrible incident. Let's make her the leader of our troops. Like, what did that happen in real life? Like, some lady survived a beheading in Afghanistan, and they're like, okay, we're going to send you back over, and you're in charge of a platoon. She said, what? I just make copies.
I didn't do this. I got coffee for everyone.
You're a badass. You survived.
That would have been great. They were like, okay, Ripley, we're going to send you LV-426. Kill aliens. What'd you do as a job? She's like, I was a janitor. Good Will Hunting.
Yes.
Good Will Hunting needs to be a reference on every fucking episode of 2016, if possible.
It does.
But anyways,
yeah, back to Alien,
if you know the story, like, player one can take control of Ripley, of course. Player two gets control Hicks, Dwayne Hicks, Corporal Dwayne Hicks, or whatever. But you pretty much fight your way through fucking this planet and the settlement, and
do you really
save,
fuck the planet?
You literally fuck it.
That sounds pretty badass.
You kind of fight. I'm getting drunk. You kind of fuck it. But anyways, you fight your way through the whole planet and xenomorphs, ultimately to kill the queen alien and save Newt. And if you don't remember who Newt is, she is the lone fucking survivor of the Hadley's Hope.
Oh, yeah. They mostly come at night.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Mostly. Oh, my God. That's great. No. One of the worst acting moments of Newt in that movie is where they're crawling through the air ducts. She's like, this way. No, wait a minute. This way. I'd be like, look, bitch, you better get this shit right, so we about to die. you better not be fucking janking my chain, goddammit.
You can go to bed without cookies, goddammit.
Yeah, no shit. That alien that pulls you down in the air duct in a little bit, he can have your ass. But anyways, this game is made by Konami, and it's pretty much a shoot 'em up. You start out with the M65 smart gun, I think, or M56 smart gun, actually. This is a default weapon, but you can get, like, other weapons that, like, you can get one where you can shoot a three-way shot. You can do, like, three-way bursts. You can get a flamethrower, or you can get, like, a grenade, like, type deal that you can throw grenades and bombs by hitting both of the shooting buttons simultaneously.
Okay. Are they clean screen clears or what?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Like it kills everything with a certain radius to you, but it's such a radius, like you can stand pretty much in the middle and it wipes the entire fucking screen. But in some levels, you get to play in the power looter that she fights.
Oh, sweet.
The final battle of the game, you actually fight the fucking queen in the power loader, like in the movie.
Yeah.
There's not really much to say about it. Like,
it's an awesome
shooter. Other than that, it's a straight-up shooter. You work your way left or right. You blow shit up. Fuck aliens up. That's it, you know.
You know the kind of shit though makes me really regret. I don't know if regret's the right word. Really, hate the fact that Coleman never had a great arcade. I messed out on so many arcade games like that.
I know, man. Like, I never played Aliens until I got a fucking MAME cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew it existed.
Right.
But to this day, I've never seen a physical fucking Aliens
closest
cabinet.
Closest thing I've seen is that Aliens vs. Predator cabinet.
Exactly. That's one of the first cabinets I remember playing was the Alien vs. Predator, the four-player one.
Yeah. The beta mod.
I've never seen Alien 3 the gun either in person. I would love to.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
That was always my favorite thing as a kid about if my parents had to go to Decatur for those that are
local.
Oh,
my God. The Decatur Mall Arcade, man. Yes.
That was the Valhalla of nerds as a child.
Dude, that's where I played Alien vs. Predator at.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, I miss that arcade so much. Like, every time I go to the Decatur Mall, I stumble into FYE. I just look around that corner and I'm like, that's where it used to all go down at.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. It's a fucking police station now. Bummer.
Yeah.
See, I'm looking here to see if there's anything I left out. One of the things about it is the game has a lot of weird variations of aliens that you don't see in the movie. Like, there's some flying head aliens, kind of like the Hydra heads in fucking Castlevania, but it's aliens, you know, just shit like that. I mean, you can't shoot the same xenomorph for fucking six levels across the game. You gotta have some variety, but
They had a Japanese Star Wars it up.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say Japanese because the Japanese version of this game has a lot different character sprites and colors and shit than the American one does.
They're not so much of sticklers for, like, keeping close to canon as we are.
Oh, nuh-uh.
They're like, you know what? Let's add tentacles and robots to it. And we're Japanese. That's what we do.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, actually, here's the thing on Enemy Tops. Aside from Warriors, Queens, Facehuggers, Chest Burchers, Konami decided to make their own Tops aliens. They're unique, but are also very strange looking. Some of them can fly, others can shoot lasers and static electric rays, or even will grow when shot repeatedly and will later explode. And some of them resemble spiders and infectoids. I don't know what the fuck an infectoid is. Which later reappeared in the Alien vs. Predator arcade game. So, yeah. That's it for aliens, I guess.
Well, sweet.
You can look it up on MAME. It's readily available. It's a good game. It's a Konami arcade game, so you can't really fucking go wrong. It's just...
Konami had their arcade shit down.
It's just really good button mashing fun. I'd recommend checking that out.
Can it be two-player or is it one-player?
Yeah, it can be two-player. Like I said, you can first player can play as Ripley, second player plays as Hicks,
okay.
I think. It's good. I recommend you check it out if you get the chance to. If you can somewhere locate where one of these cabinets are at, if you take a picture and show me just to verify the goddamn thing exists, I'd be more than happy to try to verify it for you. But yeah, that's... Arcade Arcana.
Sweet. I like that. So, yeah, instead of our typical, like, game-centric or genre-centric or system-centric rundown, we're picking some games of the week, shit we've been playing and stuff, to kind of go over. You want to do yours first or mine?
Either or. I don't care. Tell me something about Earthbound.
Been playing Earthbound Beginnings on the Wii U. Earthbound Beginnings was Mother 1. On the NES.
And that is the official release of that shit. Yeah. It's not a fan translation. Right.
Yeah. Mother 1 was only Japanese. For years and years, all we had was Earthbound Zero, the fan translation. Earthbound Zero also, if I recall, had some tweaks to it, which you could say argued for the better. Earthbound Beginnings, Mother 1, however you want to call it. I'll just call it Earthbound Beginnings from here on out. It is a very grindy game for, especially RPGs back then weren't dialed in like they are now. And I think they were trying to,
they didn't really hone that perfection to it. Yet.
Yeah. And you know, RPGs have always, especially more later than now, have always been kind of grindy. There's a lot of grinding in, Earthbound Beginnings. For those who don't know what grinding is, it's just fighting battles.
It's a sexy thing you do.
Yes, it is. Now, it's fighting battles and battles and battles and battles.
Getting your level up.
Yeah, getting experience points to level up, become more powerful, so that the enemies you were fighting over and over and over to become more powerful from, they become like the guys you kill in one hit and move the fuck on. There's a lot of that in Earthbound Beginnings. Their Earthbound Zero fan hack, at least some versions of it, had a tweak to where they eliminated a lot of the grinding. They just adjusted the experience point curve, so you kind of leveled up more as you just played the game. And as a guy who works a lot and has a family to take care of, I appreciate that now. But Earthbound Beginnings, the official game, does not have that. It is just as grindy. I was hoping to have it beaten by the time I got here. I do not. I'm close to the end.
Well, that just turned me off from it, because if you couldn't do it, I can never do it.
Oh, it's a task. You're going to need a guide. You could beat it without a guide, but...
Does it have a bunch of that fucking Nintendo hidden bullshit where they're just like,
That sounded funky.
Like that thing where they just kind of assume you need to go here and do this next.
Well,
you'd have a really hard time figuring it out. Very vague.
The fan translation was bad at that. Beginnings is a lot better about it. If you just talk to people in these in the various places you go to, you'll get hints about where you need to go. Basically, if everyone if everyone in this town is talking about somewhere else, you probably need to go to where they're talking about. So it's not that bad, but you need the guides mainly for the dungeons because they're mazes. And
you will get lost.
Yeah, you could keep track of it with paper, but because Earthbound Beginnings uses a random battle system, like Final Fantasy has always used up until recent games, where you don't see physical enemies on the board. You're just walking around, and all of a sudden, bam, you're in a battle. Earthbound on the Super Nintendo, one of its best features, I thought, was you'd see the actual enemies, and you could avoid them. Like, you could run around them, or you could exit and re-enter and kind of make them respawn, and you could, you know, kind of pick your own battles. And Beginnings, it's just all random. You're walking
east. It's the Final Fantasy kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden, bam, no warning, you're in a battle. And the battles can be taxing as fuck. In fact, the first hour or two of the game you play, you're best off just walking around in front of your main character's house and fighting easy enemies to level up. But you want to get to like level 5 or 10, I think 5, before you move on, because otherwise you can die really fucking easily, and you, obviously that sucks.
Oh yeah, nobody wants to fucking do that.
Yeah. In this game, a lot of people think it is the same characters from Earthbound, but it isn't. They're strikingly similar.
I'm not going to lie. For the longest time, I thought it was Ness.
Yeah. And they have similar names, too, because the main character in Earthbound Beginnings, his default name, which you can't actually select a default name compared to Earthbound, but the manual had them. The default name for the main character was Ninten, which is short for Nintendo.
And then NES.
It's NES. NES with an extra S.
You clever fucks.
Yeah. There was a 6-character limit in the names in that game. So Ninten was that one. Paula, her in Earthbound for Super Nintendo, her equivalent was Anna in this game. Shit. I always forget this guy's name. The guy with glasses in Earthbound.
Paula
was the girl.
His name's different in Japan than in the Porky. Yeah.
No, that's a bad guy. Well, in Earthbound Beginnings, the kid with glasses, his name is Lloyd.
I have no idea.
In Earthbound, it's something different. I can't ever fucking remember. He's always the odd man out in all these games. Well, when I say all these games, both of these games, he's the odd man out, or he's like the most useful, but he gains access to some items that makes him useful sometimes. He doesn't have psychic powers. He's a nerd. His physical attacks aren't that great. He's relatively weak, but he does come in handy sometimes. And then Earthbound Beginnings also had a guy named Teddy, who was like a gangster type dude. He was like a greaser. And he's actually pretty badass, but, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm not going to say that. He's a greaser that joins your team at some point, and he's a pretty badass, valuable member of your team. He had no, appearance at all, or a real equivalent in Earthbound. In Earthbound for Super Nintendo, you had 2, which, you know, as funny as that sounds, he's based off like a Shaolin monk. His physical attacks in Earthbound weren't amazing, but he had some badass psychic powers. And he was an odd character, the same as Teddy's, almost the same. He uses a completely different weapon set and everything from everyone else, so his weapons only work for him and stuff like that. So in a way, they're kind of equivalent, but they're not. Earthbound Beginnings is... It explains the genesis of Gygas from Earthbound.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to interrupt you, but I just technically did. You're the local Earthbound expert, so I just thought I'd ask. Mother 3 is not connected to Earthbound or Mother.
It is, but not extremely well.
Not like with Gygas being...
No, Gygas is gone. But Porky, who is in Earthbound, is the main bad guy in this game.
Okay. I'm just going to shut up and listen then.
So,
I just wanted to clarify
that. That's fine. Earthbound Beginnings kind of explains a lot of how the aliens and shit came to be in conflict with Earth. Basically, Ninten's grandfather, George, and his grandmother, George and Maria, disappeared one day. And turns out they were abducted by aliens. And they were sent to care for this alien named Gygas, or Gygin, or Gygi, something like that. It's basically Gygas, but the translation's a little different. Anyways, they were, for some reason, they were abducted to care for this alien. And George, their grandfather, steals their secrets of psychic powers and brings it back to Earth. And that's where Ninten gets his psychic powers from. And it kind of just evolves from there, where Gygig is comes back for revenge, basically, for stealing his alien race's psychic powers. And I don't want to spoil too much, even though it's an old-ass fucking game. Some people might want to go buy it on their Wii U.
It's a new release for Wii U, yeah, or newer. Yeah.
It's technically a new game. It's like a $10 game. If you like RPGs, if you liked Earthbound on Super Nintendo, you gotta buy this game. If you didn't, and you want to get into Earthbound, don't start with this game. Start with Earthbound for Super Nintendo, which is also on the Virtual Console for $9. If you love the game though, it's a good like little history and cool to see how it all comes together. Oh, one thing that really just blew me away. Even before, when I played the original Earthbound Zero fan translation, is the music in this game is so similar to the Super Nintendo one. It is, I'd go into a new area, and I was like, oh my god, just a walk down memory lane, how similar the music was to different areas. Even though it wasn't for the same types of areas, they mixed it up a lot. It was really cool. I'm not sure how much more I really want to get into it. I mean, I could explain the plots and stuff, but I don't want to spoil it too bad. It's very quirky, which Earthbound is renowned for that.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the few things I can say I know about Earthbound is the kind of just weirdness of Earthbound.
Compared to Earthbound, your inventory in this game is extremely limited, which Earthbound was extremely limited to begin with. This is like half of what Earthbound gave you. Each character can hold like 8 items, which isn't much, especially when you consider you want to be holding healing items. And you got like a Nintendo's cash card and all kinds of other shit.
Shit that you have to have.
Quest items, healing items. And then Lloyd uses other items as weapons. Like, he can get plasma beams, flamethrowers, and stuff, which he uses as items. Earthbound Beginnings has a lot of items that are really useful in battle, but they have a 1 in 8 chance of breaking upon use. Earthbound Super Nintendo didn't have that, really.
Damn, the challenge factor for that shit sounds rough.
Yeah, it turns the random battles into like a big gambit that drains your resources. It's really just a big fucking grind.
Does that not get like frustrating?
To a degree. One thing that's cool about Virtual Console games is you can save and load a state.
Save and restore points.
Yes, but you only got one. But yeah. But for Beginnings, it's perfect. And instead of wasting potentially hours or gaining what I lost, I can save after a battle. And if I get into some shit that I can't handle,
get into a pickle, you can just start back from.
Yeah,
start back fresh.
I will say there's an asterisk to this because these games are emulated to the T. It's anyone who knows what like determinism is. It kind of follows that philosophy. Because when you load a state, all the variables are the exact same as when you started. Everything will happen the exact same way again. So you've got to take that into account, which is really handy if you got some programming experience. You know to fuck with the variables some. Use some items, cast some fucking spells before you go forward again, and then you'll encounter a different scenario. Because all the variables have changed some, so the equation overall has changed. Otherwise, the save and load ain't going to help you any, because you'll get right into exactly the same fucking situation you quit from. But, yeah, for $10, if you loved Earthbound, you got to get Earthbound Beginning. The editions are so much better. Like, Earthbound Zero didn't make a whole lot of sense to me as the fan translation. It makes way more sense.
We know Alex that done the episode with us. Alex, my little cousin,
yeah,
people that don't know, he's a huge Earthbound fan. Mm-hmm. And he even told me Earthbound Zero is fucking confusing. Just, yeah, like, and you know, he did even recognize, though, like, it's a translation error.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's because it was translated by fans who are trying to do more of a word-by-word translation than a context translation.
Certain shit gets lost.
A lot of shit gets lost. Whereas Nintendo, they knew all the hidden variables in the story. You know, because every good story has, like, a real story and the story that's portrayed. Yeah. They know the hidden story, so they can bring into context all the shit that you need to know and translate that. Without that in a translation, they're just like, they're almost plugging it into Google and getting it translated that way, except having it more intelligible. So a lot of shit was lost in the fan translation. I would still love to learn Japanese and play the original Mother 1, but that's another undertaking of its own.
I was fixing to say, that's a daunting fucking task right there itself.
Like, I've looked into learning languages. Like, the other languages based on Latin, I think I could learn without a whole lot of trouble.
I know a little bit of Latin and Spanish. Like, yeah. Spanish isn't that hard to me because I've worked with so many Mexicans. And yeah. I was in Spanish club for 2 years in school. Like, Spanish is pretty easy. The fact that you have characters that are fucking English letters,
yeah,
that throws makes me for that a loop. Difficult. Maybe me and you should go in halves and split Rosetta Stone.
Yeah,
we could learn to, or I Muzzy. Do they still, like, make Muzzy?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Muzzy, fuzzy Muzzy.
But yeah, if you like Earthbound, get Earthbound Beginnings. If you are interested in Earthbound, steer clear. Get Earthbound. Don't get Earthbound Beginnings.
This is something completely different.
Yeah, there's similarities, but you don't want to start with this one. Even though it is number one, the stories aren't so interwoven. You have to start there. Like, each one is its own story, and there's thin strings between each one. So you're not missing anything by skipping one and starting with Earthbound on SNES, which would technically be the second game.
Yeah. So, which a lot of people still think Earthbound's the
number one.
Yeah. A lot of people still think Earthbound is the only game in its series.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo, you really need to get on the ball and bring that motherfucking Mother 3 translation. Yes. That's what everybody wants. Release that shit on a virtual console.
Mother 3 was fucking amazing, but again, the fan translation is real sketchy.
Did anything ever... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, since we're just pretty much talking about Earthbound... Mother 3 started out as an N64 project, right?
In fact, it was going to be a direct sequel to Earthbound because it had NES. I remember seeing the graphics of it, like Nintendo 64 NES and Nintendo 64. The same guy, I can't think of his fucking name. Jeff. The guy with the glasses, Jeff. Hey, Lloyd is Jeff's equivalent in Earthbound Beginnings. But, I remember seeing N64 graphical version of Ness and Jeff. I was like, oh my god, this is fucking amazing. And then it got shit canned.
Come out on fucking Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
With completely new characters and a new
story.
The
only character, there's two characters in Earthbound, or Mother 3, that were the same as in Earthbound SNES game. Was where Porky, the kid, / the neighbor, / final boss, almost, in Earthbound, and Dr. Andernuts, who was Jeff's father, he's still in Mother 3. Because there's a lot of time travel shit that happens in Earthbound, and they get into Mother 3. So, that's the only real connection there.
Now, are they doing anything else on the Mother 4 fan thing?
And it's still going. I still like to get some kind of... an interview with him. I need to hit him up again. But yeah, it's just, these people aren't getting paid for it. They can't charge for this game. It's a completely free fan thing, so they're kind of taking their time, which I understand. But every now and then, I see an update from them. It looks great. And On that note, I've mentioned this before about the creator of Earthbound. I can't recall his name. Itoi something.
Would you like me to look it up real quick?
Nah, it's not that important.
Okay, I won't then.
The creator of Earthbound said has zero plans at all and really not any desire to make him a Mother 4, and would rather there be a fan-made Earthbound 2, Mother 4, however you want to say it. So, yeah, I think I'm cool with that, too. Like, the fan-made version, sure, I'll play them, but Mother 3 ended well. There doesn't need to be any more.
That's kind of like how it goes with movies.
Yeah.
I'd rather see them not make, like, the whole Ghostbusters debacle.
Yeah.
That's coming out this year. Ghostbusters is like, and this is a side rant, I guess, but Ghostbusters is my most favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That movie has captivated the fuck out of me since I was a little ass kid. I wanted to grow up and be a goddamn Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Now they got a bunch of women remaking Ghostbusters, and yep. I'm just like, what the fuck? I would rather not shit come out to further the franchise than something come out to just kind of condemn the franchise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
video games are no different.
Yeah.
Like, I would. Fallout 4 to me is great. But I see why people that love Fallout and Fallout 2 don't like Fallout 4 and even Fallout 3 for that matter. You know, I see that. But I would rather them not make a Fallout 5 if they're going to come out with a fucking shitty. Oh, it's a GTA 6 clone, pretty much. Yeah. You know, something like, I'd rather them just not fucking make one.
It's kind of the same note that the creator of Earthbound said. He's like, yeah, if I depended on my living of making Earthbound, there would be an Earthbound or Mother 4 or 5 by now. He's like, but my life doesn't depend on that. My income comes from other places, and I'd rather not have to do that. So
you can't blame the guy, though. I mean,
he's like,
life gets in the way of everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's basically saying that I could make more if I had to, but
I'm not sacrificing integrity.
Exactly, I was going to say the exact same thing. He's not going to sacrifice the integrity of the story to make more for money.
And that to me is beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, from a creator standpoint, because you don't want to fucking George Lucas your shit.
Or Final Fantasy. Look up. Final Fantasy is gone.
God, valid fucking point. Valid. I've started playing back through Final Fantasy 3. Well, 6?
Yeah.
Japan? Again.
So that's a great game.
And like, up until 8, 7, and I'll even give it to 8. I liked 8 alright. 9 is where I kind of got lost with shit. And I know they tried going back to base. 9's not a terrible game, but
none of them are terrible, but
They stray too far from the formula kind of deal.
Yeah. And I really loved the combat in 13, but everything else, I could leave it.
I've never played 13, so
combat was great. I think I've said this many times. Combat was great, but the rest of it was eh.
Is 15 the one that's fixed to come out?
Yes.
I kind of like the way it looks. I know a bunch of people have been bitching, oh, you get to drive a car around. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool, man. Like, everybody, Final Fantasy VII is the most fucking coveted one, and it is not your basic fucking crystals and dragons and fairies. It's futuristic.
No,
fucking,
you drive a motorcycle. Don't you drive a car of some sort eventually? Or is that just the motorcycle level? No, you're in the motorcycle and you're protecting the cart with Barrett.
That's right, yeah, because you slash right or left, like chopping Shinra soldiers.
Airships, I mean, that's a staple in Final Fantasy, airships.
Golden saucer, like, all these fucking emerald and ruby weapon, like, not your basic fucking.
The weapons are, like, my favorite thing about 7. God.
Here, I've never even. Okay, I know where ruby and emerald weapon are. Never fucked with either one of them, because I know they're strong, but I hear you being like, oh, I make mincemeat of these motherfuckers. And
Ruby
like,
was by far the hardest.
Now, is Ruby the one that has, like, the stalks come up?
In the
that
desert?
It, like, wipes out two fucking party members in one hit?
Yeah, he's below the gold saucer.
it's a random thing, but what's a strategy for that, Brandon?
It's been a long time since I've played that, so I couldn't really tell you right now. I know Emerald is a race against time.
It's underwater, right?
Yes, underwater, and it's pretty much just DPS the fuck out of it. You know, damage, 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 don't relent, play aggressive as fuck, and win. And then Ultimate Weapon, once you beat Ruby and Emerald, you fight Ultimate Weapon, and, which you fight Ultimate Weapon in the story, but you don't defeat them. So you fight them again after Ruby and Emerald.
You have the chance to actually conquer them then.
So you never got the Knights of the Round Table materia?
Dude, honestly, I have made it to Disc 2, and I've never beaten Final Fantasy VII. I've watched you beat it, but
there's that Knights of the Round Table materia, which you get. I'm real fuzzy, so I'm sure I'll get crucified as well. But I think you had to beat Ultimate Weapon to get there's a string of things you had to do to get the Knights of the Round materia. But it's like a 5 minute long summon, and like it just has like every one of the Knights of the Round Table from the old what's it called? A Matter of England, you know, Arthur and
like King Arthur's court. And all that
all
shit.
Them guys. Each one of them summons up
the Camelot people.
Yeah, even against Sephiroth, the final boss. Each one of them summons up and they deal like maximum damage, 9,999 damage for 5 fucking minutes. So like it turns.
And you're still not putting a dent in this thing for the first couple.
It does turn it into a trivial matter at that point, because you've just beat the game so fucking hard, like you've got the best of everything at this point, and you just have to wait, watch a cinematic you play for 15 minutes over and over.
But, you're such a motherfucker at RPGs, it blows my mind. I love it, but I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before, since we're just kind of diddle-daddling with Final Fantasy VII. There is a boss in Final Fantasy VII that is a ghost boss, and it has these little fire imps appear that you have to kill before you can attack the main boss. I struggled with that shit for 2 motherfucking months. Or, well, I say 2 months, but in my young mind, it was probably like a month. It was a long fucking time to me. Brandon comes to my house, and I'm just like, God damn it, I can't beat this boss. I don't know what to do. And Brandon's like, let me see it. Throw a phoenix down on it. And I'm like, and I didn't think about it. It's an undead, like, supernatural creature. Throws a phoenix down on it. Kills it in 1 fucking hit.
I think that was my first experience of Final Fantasy VII as well.
Fuck you, Brandon.
I never had a PlayStation.
Fuck you, Brandon. Fuck you, Brandon.
The last Game Fest was the first time I ever owned a PlayStation. Then I gave it away.
Just like Mark Zuckerberg gave away 10% of Facebook stock.
Hey, I'm a recipient of that.
Me too.
Send me your social security number, bank account number, and I'll send you 10% of it.
Last name, too.
Yeah, last name.
It's viable.
Any PIN numbers?
Anything.
Immediate family, mother's maiden name.
Marriage certificates, birth certificates, social security numbers.
Take out a reverse mortgage in my name.
Now he'd be very appreciative and thankful. So I've been piddling around with the game. It's a Japanese-only game, but kind of like Earthbound Beginnings or Earthbound Zero, whatever you want to call it. This game only has fan translations at this point. Kind of a precursor, though, to Resident Evil. It's a Capcom game. It's I was looking for the Japanese name, and I found it, but I can't read it. But the translation is Sweet Home. And this is something I think you would like, because you'd be really fucking stupid good at it for no goddamn reason. But, It's published by Capcom. It came out in 89 in Japan, and it's an RPG, and it's turn-based, randomized battles. Like, you don't see the battles coming up, just like...
That was almost standard back then.
Yeah, exactly. But, pretty much Sweet Home, it follows the exploits of, you play it, you have the choice to switch between 5 people on the fly. You have Kazuo, Akiko, Taro, Azuki, and Emi. And each one of them has their own items and abilities that you can use, you know, to progress in the game.
Yeah.
Pretty much the storyline is, I'm not going to go on full spoiler in case you do want to play it, but, there's a famous painter, name is, fuck me if I say this wrong, Miyamiya Uchiruyu, who, he lived a long time in the mansion that the game takes place in. And pretty much, like, there's a bunch of rumors after he dies that there's a bunch of super valuable paintings left inside because nobody's been able to obtain them. Pretty much these people go and get these pictures of, like, these fresco paintings that are left, but when they enter the mansion, the ghost figure of the painter appears and just pretty much is like, fuck you, you're coming into my house, I'll destroy you. So he locks you in the mansion, and you are able to swap between these five characters on the fly to do shit, because each one has different items that make them special.
So it's like Ocean's 11.
Kinda. You have to have everybody operating together to fucking make everything whole.
Is one of them George Clooney?
I wished. Like one character, for example, let's say Akiko, which is the nurse of the team. Like, she can find pill bottles that other player, like if you're playing as Emi, who has a vacuum cleaner, for example. If you're playing as Emi as a vacuum cleaner and you need somebody that needs to be healed, like you encounter broken glass in the hallway, she's the only one that can vacuum that shit up for everybody to pass. But if there's pill bottles or other hidden items in the area like that, she can't find them. You have to have, like, the healer to find those kinds of items. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the items are very specific to the character that you're playing as in the area. You pretty much can swap, though, and go about, and like, for example, you got the five people. One player dies, you're down to four. You can still use those four to beat the game, but you got to be a little bit more creative.
So they never come back once they die? It's permadeath?
No, it's permadeath.
Okay, that's like, interesting.
That's the... Like I said, it's a precursor to Resident Evil. It's very survival horror kind of base. Like, you get... It's got multiple endings, multiple branching paths, all that bullshit. And this
was a Famicom game?
Yes.
So it's probably brutal as fuck on difficulty.
Yes, it, hence why I haven't got very far into it. Oh, well, very far. I've got about 3 or so hours into it, which is not bad. Is it, you can beat the game in like 7 or 8 hours, but still, it's intense. The randomized battles are fucking hard as shit. It makes me think a lot of Dragon Warrior. You remember how Dragon Warrior, it's like the first person.
Yeah.
Like, you just see the enemy. You don't see the character.
You just have text boxes for your character.
Exactly. And, dude, it's fucking frustrating. I've encountered this one thing called, like, it's like Wisp of Toe or something like that. And it's like a goddamn little ghost. And they just don't do a shitload of damage, but they're able to, like, they'll do 4 damage, and it'll be like, is able to attack again immediately. And they'll do 4 more continuous. And it just rains down hell upon you until, like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have time to, like, throw a block or anything in there, or, like, a defend or shit. It just mows you the fuck down. I'm trying to think what else I could say. I could talk about the story a little more without really spoiling shit. You're able to run away. It does have the option to retreat. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
That's one thing in Earthbound Beginnings I use a lot.
Retreat?
Yes.
That's weird hearing you say you use the retreat function.
Well, it's all about how many resources you want to expend at the time. If you're grinding, I pretty much, you know, go till I'm about out, and then I leave and restore all my shit. But if you're going to a boss, you want to keep yourself in good condition. You don't want to fuck around with these enemies. That's going to
drag you. You got fucking 100 max. You don't want to go into a boss battle with 30
right.
of 100.
So, yeah, in fact, Earthbound Beginnings is the only one, to my knowledge, that has a special psychic move just for exiting battle. Like, you can try and run away in that game, and half the time it won't work. More than half the time it won't work, but Nintendo has an ability called Fourth Dimension Slip. And you use that, and it's almost a guaranteed escape, but it uses some psychic points, so, and they don't work on bosses.
I don't really care about spoilers, so I'm going to go ahead and just give the storyline this way. But one reason I wanted to talk about storyline, from what I played and what I did learn, this is a very fucking brutal game, which Japan, their standards are different, but... Yeah. What happens is, I told you about, you know, the artist hides his famous paintings, and these people are essentially
Hosters.
Going, yeah, they're going to look for this shit. 30 years prior to 1959, the artist hides his paintings in his mansion, and he mysteriously disappears. In the present day, your five characters that you play as, you go to recover the paintings from the place, and an unknown woman is the ghost, is the thing that appears to you, and it threatens to kill all the trespassers. And you pretty much, when you play through the game, where I got to is discovering the fact about their son dying. You don't know how their son dies initially. There's a ghost that's telling you, all the negative energy is in this fucking mansion because our son died here. What you do find out, though, is the ghost that approaches you is actually the artist's wife. And it's revealed that, like, 30 years earlier, their two-year-old son falls into the house's incinerator and is burned to death.
Nice.
And she is, the wife is so driven crazy by the kid being burned to death, she murders all his children friends in attempts to give him ghosts to have friends.
Huh.
Like, whew, you know, crazy. Roscoe, which is my dog, leave. Thank you. But she is unable to forgive herself for doing this, and she kills herself, and therefore her ghost is trapped in the mansion. And end up fighting her in a final form, which is kind of like a Sephiroth the Savior kind of deal. Like, she turns from a little old house ghost into mecha badass house ghost.
It just made me think randomly of an episode of Aqua Teen with Video Ouija. Do you see that one? It was like a Nintendo Ouija board. And like,
I haven't.
There was like a ghost baby in it. It was just fucking hilarious. I couldn't talk about it without ruining the humor in it, but it was a great episode.
Do it. Fuck it. Aqua Teen is
worthy of being spoiled. I don't remember enough. I'm kind of buzzed right now. I'll bring it up later. So.
It's okay. Sweet Home, though, did serve as the main inspiration for Resident Evil. Resident Evil was actually going to be a remake of Sweet Home.
Huh.
Because
that makes the name make more sense.
Well, Sweet Home takes place in a large mansion. Resident Evil, the first one, takes place in a large mansion, you know. One cool thing about Sweet Home, it's got multiple paths and multiple endings, depending on what you do. And for an NES game, it has a substantial amount of gore in it.
Really? Animals.
It's driving me fucking crazy.
Butt fuck him indeed.
Butt fuck him to death. Yeah. The game also has a lot of like dual character paths. Like, for example, you're in a room with a locked door. You can lockpick the door with a certain character and go in, but if the character that has the lockpick is dead, you might be able to use the character that has the bomb and blow your way around the door. Yeah. You know, there's like multiple paths you can do. It's something worth checking out. I think you would like it.
I'll have to look into
it. It's a definite ROM. You can buy a physical card of it, but I mean,
it's still an unofficial game, so
you'd be just as good off to buy the fucking, or to download the ROM as to buy
a
physical card of it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I've been fucking with it. That's about it. I haven't really had time in the past 3 weeks to play video games, and it sucks.
Yeah.
It's like having fucking drug withdrawals, I guess.
Yeah, it does. Well, I guess it's time for my next segment. It's time to get hot and steamy. I need to get some like porno music to play it in the centro.
Is it steamy?
Hot and Steamy is a segment where I talk about my quest to play all these Steam games in my library before I buy any more.
Brandon, you probably will die before you play all the games.
It is possible.
Fucking Steam library. I hope not, but it's possible.
It's very possible. I mean, I am a fat fuck.
Our life expectancy has been cut in half.
You know, as many of our listeners may know, this used to be shit of the shit. Before I tied it directly to my Steam thing, I got so many Steam games in my library that I can do this for a long time that I haven't played. And most of the games I bought are fairly good because I at least looked into them before I bought them. So shit of the
I'm glad.
Shit of the shit doesn't really apply because most of them are going to be fairly good. This one is apparently a hit game that I had no clue I had or that was hit or anything. But it's called or VVVVVV.
Five V's?
Six.
V to the sixth power.
Yes. It's on PC, Steam, 3DS, PS Vita, PS4, iOS, Android, and a handful of other things. On Steam, it's $5. It's a it's very minimalist graphic, like almost Atari-esque style graphics platformer. The controls are simple. I mean, it's got a few different other buttons, but you mainly just have left, right, and I guess you'd almost say reverse gravity button. It's almost like jump, except you reverse your own gravity, I guess you'd say. So it's like your typical platformer, left, right, right, left. It doesn't go in a straight line like Mario. You course through this spaceship, and it's almost like Metroid in that manner. You have like an overworld map, and you want to go from like point A to point B to do something. But each room, when you press the action button is what it's called. Whenever you press that, your gravity for your character is reversed. So if you're in the ground and you press that, you fall to the ceiling.
Oh, that's kind of
so cool. These puzzles are made to where you gotta abuse the shit all that, and it gets insanely fucking
difficult.
Dude,
that would be hard to figure some of that shit out.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. Like, you think you might have mastered it, and then you get to the next room, and like, holy shit. It's very fast and challenging. To do a lot of, to get from one end of the room to the other, there's like moving platforms and spikes and all kinds of shit you gotta traverse. And I haven't beat the game yet, so there could be way harder shit that I don't even know about yet. But one, because it is so difficult and challenging in that aspect, practically every room has a checkpoint in it. So you'll see these little light bulbs with a C. You touch it, you get a checkpoint. So if you die, you just respawn there. There's no lives or anything, so you can take your time and try to get your way through this game. If you had a finite amount of lives, this game would be damn near impossible. So it's good that you can just sit there and try over and over.
They incorporate that shit.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for a game over screen or anything. It's just you're instantly back at that sea. So
nice.
So you can get through it really quick. So you are on a spaceship. It has a story to it. I'm not gonna get into it. It wasn't nothing special so far. You're basically you go through some kind of catastrophe, and all your shipmates have been teleported around this huge ass ship, and you gotta find them. And to find them, you use this Metroid-esque map system So you'll see, like, you're in, you know, block 1C, you got a guy you need to get to, you know, in 2B or some shit like that. Like I said, it plays really awesome. Controls really great. Looks like an Atari game with special effects. When I say special effects, like, you know, lightning or shit like that, that you wouldn't see on Atari, but otherwise they look like an Atari game graphics.
Yeah.
Like, everything's mono.
Very bare minimal.
Everything's mono-colored, so there's no, like, gradients in anything. Like, your character is just, like...
A solid block.
Yeah, it's like a block with a smiley face or a sad face, depending on the situation. And it just has, like, an arms and legs sticking out. You know, it might be 30 pixels in this character. It's got a really amazing soundtrack, though. The soundtrack is... I'd almost say it, Super Nintendo style. I wanted to bring that in for y'all to kind of listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I listened a little bit of this earlier. Kick it. That's a jam, dude.
Yeah.
Party with us. I love how it kicks into that. It's excellent, man. It's like such a throwback to old shit.
Yeah, I love it. And the album is actually, you can buy the album separately. It's called PPP PPP. Very fitting.
Nice. Very nice.
But yeah, $5 when it's full price. I think I got this game for 50 cents probably. It's one of them things where, like, oh, this looks like it's good. I got 50 cents. Why not? I'm sure it goes on sale a lot. It's got great reviews everywhere. I've never seen a bad review for it by any legitimate source anyway. Buy it. Get it. If you like this type of game, it's cheap. It's awesome. Get it.
Very nice.
It's very hot and steamy.
That is very hot and steamy. Makes a man almost go creamy.
Well,
that's gross.
We had a listener question of the week.
That we did.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was? Because you asked it when we were drunk.
I don't. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I've been a really shitty half of this podcast this week.
I was fine, man.
I've been so busy moving and unpacking shit that I have not had time to do anything. And I don't remember the question at all.
Well,
I remember asking it.
We got some fans who remembered it.
Good.
But first, if any future questions or anything y'all want to say, give us a call, 682-777-GOOD.
Good.
You want
Fuck,
me to...
I was going to plug that at the beginning, and I forgot it.
Bad things happen if you don't give us a call.
We're going to let you know what happens right now.
For those of you who haven't called the show, a warning. On call, you will awaken Satan, and infants shall fall from the sky. Bears will feast on the slow and the witless. Vaginas will turn to stone.
Not good.
Serpents rise from the ground.
Not at all.
Fly into your sphincter and bite.
Ouch.
Demons will travel back in time and rape your father.
Hell, Satan.
You've been warned.
Oh, still one of my faves.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, our question of the week. What are the worst video game stereotypes and why?
Fuck, I do remember that now. So, somebody answered that?
Yeah, we had some
great
answers.
Awesome.
Jeffrey Hargrave, he said that we don't have jobs and aren't able to live an active social lifestyle and still be serious about gaming.
Fucking right, dude. Fucking
and
right.
I'm gonna say, I mean, I make that stereotype quite a bit. I see some, I mean, it's
fucking nerd
to a degree. It's, I mean, there's some truth to it.
There is.
You'll see that guy who hasn't taken a bath in 3 weeks.
And has been on WoW nonstop.
Makes me look skinny, and you know...
Yeah, I agree.
He's barely able to walk. He has to take the fat people scooter around Walmart.
The scooting.
Yeah, wearing his wrist brace from all the mouse clicks. Like,
I mean, I have heart palpitations because I play video games.
Yeah. But I'm ranked number 2 in my guild on World of Warcraft.
It's all good. They were all there to support me.
I get 2,323 DPS in the number 2 raid.
My intelligence... Sounds like me breathing right now.
But, it is lucky. You can't put any time or skill into a game without being considered that way. It's those people who give us that name. I say we all give them their proper
rebuttal.
Yeah, let's make fun of them because I don't know what else to do.
There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, they're giving us all a bad name. The proper Schadenfreude, I guess you'd say. Matt Sattler said, people who play games must not be able to do the real thing, at least when it comes to sports and racing. I mean, I've seen that too.
I was pretty decent at baseball and football, so I didn't choose to keep playing them, but I remember
this, like, when Guitar Hero came out. Like, I got pretty badass Guitar Hero, and people were like, well, you couldn't do that on real guitar. I'm like, yeah, neither can you.
Yeah, my point exactly. I can play an actual guitar better than I can play a Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I can play decent shit on a guitar that I can't play for shit on Guitar Hero. So, if you're one of them people, ain't an asshole.
Yeah. You know, just because you're good at a video game doesn't mean you can't do something in real life or vice versa. They have no correlation.
The one big stereotype is the whole, you know, just video games ruin your life. Bullshit.
Yeah.
If video games ruin your life, they wouldn't use video game simulations to teach people how to do fucking certain jobs and shit now. Oh, yeah. They wouldn't teach goddamn pilots how to fly a fucking virtual plane before they flew an actual plane.
And it's been shown that as far as, like, what your brain does, playing a video game is way better for your brain than watching TV.
It stimulates your fucking learning curves in your brain.
Yeah, it's way better than watching TV, because watching TV is about, like, the deadest your brain gets.
Give a fucking idiot an NES controller and say, beat Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
You know, point proven right there.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of mind power to do the shit.
Yep. It sure does. I'm trying to think of what the worst video game stereotype I can think of. Because almost all of them have a hint of truth, which I guess a lot of stereotypes are like that. There's a hint of truth to them, even though they're obviously not true as a whole. Worst video game stereotype. I had an answer before, and I can't think of it now. Because I'm an idiot.
Stop drinking.
Yeah, it's all these video games I've been playing making me dumb.
It's okay.
They
told you it was going to happen.
One of them is that every girl who plays a video game is hot. Like, or that they're going to spread their legs for you or whatever. Like, I've played a lot of online games, and anytime, like, a girl comes into voice chat, it's instantly, like, the most desperate...
Audio rape.
Yeah, the most desperate, thirsty assholes you can think of comes on there. Like, oh, I'll give you 20 gold. You want to get in scalp with me? You want to be my best friend? You want to... Can I have your aim handle? But dude. Just because she has a vagina doesn't mean she's going to give it to you because she's playing a game.
That shit, that's desperation. To 100 degree.
And you know what kind of propels that stereotype? Is there's girls who game, and then there are gamer girls. The girls who just,
I don't get on that topic. I seen a meme one time that fucking summed it up for me great. It's some hot ass, skinny chick. You know, big bust, big ass.
Yeah.
Wearing glasses. And it's like, oh my God, I'm such a gamer. And somebody was, and it was the picture of the fucking meme dude, you know, the drawing of the dude with his fingers like this. And he's just like, no, you're just a whore that found glasses. Yeah. And I'm like, summed it up.
Yep. It's the,
I've met, before getting with my significant other I have now, I dated a couple of girls that claimed to be gamers. Hipster gamers. Oh, that's all you can say about it. She's like, oh my God, I like stayed up and played 35 minutes of Halo last night. And I'm just like, God damn, shoot yourself in the face.
Yeah. I'm a retro gamer. I played the Sony GameCube. Like,
makes me want to fucking cave my head in, dude. Like,
I think those are few and far between.
I dated this one girl, and I'm not going to name names, but I dated her. I went to her house, and she's like, oh my God, like Super Mario Wii is like the best Mario. Oh my God. I'm just like, oh my God, do you even fucking know what Super Mario 3 or Super Mario Brothers is? She's like, oh my God, it was 20 years after NES come out, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm almost a child molester. I gotta get rid of you. And then it's, I know plenty of awesome girls that play games.
They don't,
I know plenty of them.
They don't sell themselves on that point.
Exactly. If you have to brag about being a chick and being a gamer, you're not a fucking chick gamer.
Right.
You're doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like being a bitch that goes, I shouldn't have called women bitches, I guess. But if you do this, you're a bitch. If you go, it's the same thing as the groupie thing.
Yeah.
You don't know jack shit about music, but you go to a fucking concert because, oh, there's some hot guys playing music. Fuck you. I was a musician, you know, and I'm still a musician. I play music that makes me entertained, that I'll enjoy playing.
Yeah.
I've never really played music for bitches.
Yeah.
I just haven't. Like, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife, man. Like, it don't work like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, play it if you like it, but don't try.
If you're doing it for a fashion statement, leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah, exactly. If you enjoy it, do it, but otherwise, you know, there's plenty of cliques out there. You know, if the only people you're going to attract doing that are the people you don't want no part of.
Precisely.
So this
some ain't shit motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to attract.
Yep. Them thirsty
ass. I don't know why he left me after 3 weeks. Did you expect marriage?
He still lives with his mother. I mean,
yeah, no shit. He works at GameStop and lives with his parents. What the fuck you think's going to happen?
Oh, shit.
He bought 14 Amiibo instead of buying you a ring. What the fuck you think's going to happen?
Oh, God, I know people like that.
I do, too. I'm speaking from experience here. I dated another girl one time that bitched about her fucking ex-boyfriend constantly, and that was his staple. She's like, he worked at fucking GameStop, didn't have a car, didn't expect me to have babies with him. And I'm like, you were with him for 2 years, bitch. Like,
kick him to the curb.
Shit.
You're a strong, independent black woman. Make it happen.
Yeah, I dated so many black women in my life.
Strong, independent black woman don't need no man.
Fuck no, they don't need no piece of shit like us.
Oh, man. So what's our next listener question of the week? What's a good one? Have you ever physically damaged your gaming hardware out of rage, and what game made you do it?
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's a great one, because I think we've all been a victim of that. What game pisses you off so much that you have injured your console with? Definitely.
I'm going to write that down so I can ask it on Facebook.
Good. Good. It's young Skywalker. The more I watch Star Wars now, the more I think the Emperor is a fucking pervert.
Young Skywalker must show me his junk.
Ever since you showed me that one dub video, I can't ever say him without thinking about him as Mickey Mouse. Ha ha! Spit on him and call him a bitch. Ha ha!
Yeah, no, spit on him and call him a bitch. Ha ha!
Come on to the dark side. Everybody talk like Mickey Mouse now. Don't you know Disney bought Star Wars?
They did. And now they own PewDiePie's even like,
I just booked Mitchell Minecraft. Look at that glass wall.
It's just like, god damn
it. Oh god, there needs to be.
Please sign up for that Kurt Cobain Schlossberg 540 or whatever the fuck it was.
There needs to be like a scene in the next Star Wars film where like Kylo Ren's watching PewDiePie on YouTube and like he just sees something.
He gets mad and just starts destroying shit. My owners oppressed me.
I donated to PewDiePie and I didn't get a shout out. Oh!
I just would like to see him force choke the shit out of PewDiePie over YouTube. He's just watching YouTube on like the Imperial or the First New Order fucking. No, it's First Order, right?
Yeah, First Order.
The First Order like fucking internet channel or whatever. And he's just like, oh, god damn it. And just fucking force chokes PewDiePie across the internet. Instead of like that big fucking laser blast, it just blows the planet up all across the galaxy. It's like his internet signal is about to infect yours. Kylo Ren. I love him, but he's such a pussy.
I can't stand him. He's my biggest problem in Star Wars.
One of the funniest things the second time I watched it with my, when Jesse went with me, Jesse was like, when he took his mask off first time, he's like, holy fuck, it's Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
And the spooky kids.
It's JP from Grandma's Boy.
I'm going to get robot legs. It's a risky operation.
I love you.
Sit on my face. What did you say?
How do you see me?
Oh, nice, JP. Did you buy that coat in the Matrix?
I see, it was awesome as I heard that same from two other people, too, who never heard me or anyone else say that. Like, he looked like JP from Grandma's Boy.
Nuts. He kind of does.
Yeah. He's the guy that was first in line to see Star Wars. Like, he's probably first in line to see the prequels, and he turned to the dark side.
George Lucas! God damn it. Oh,
fuck. I guess we need to wrap it up.
Yeah, we're 2 hours in.
All right.
So, as always, you can find us at goodoldgamers.com. Find us on our Facebook, Good Old Gamers Podcast. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes.
Tune in. All that good shit.
We're everywhere. Worldwide.
We're on the Tweetars. We are on the Google Pluses now. All the Google Pluses. Give us a follow there.
iTunes.
Every one of the three people still on Google Plus. I like Google Plus, but there's not near enough people on there.
Dude, I got on the Google Plus train, and if people would treat Google Plus like Facebook, it really would be better.
Yeah, it's way better than Facebook, but the thing about social networking is that you have to have social on there, society on there.
Social. Keyword.
Yeah. It doesn't really function without other people, so it's one of them things like we either all go at the same time or it doesn't happen. Yeah. And there's people on there, but it's not enough. I know a couple people on there because they can do the social networking without like interfering with their work because their bosses are all over Facebook and get their coworkers get pissy if they don't accept friend requests and all that kind of horseshit. So Google Plus is just kind of simpler. They ain't got to deal with that kind of shit.
Talking about drama.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Social networking should not be that dramatic, like high school. Seriously. At all. But you can find us on all that shit. iTunes, Google. We're actually on Google. Or, god damn it. YouTube,
yes.
We're on YouTube.
I recently uploaded all the backlog of episodes, so we're up to date now.
We're on YouTube. If you find us there, hell, shoot us. If you got any questions, comments, shoot that shit over to goodoldgamers@gmail.com.
Podcast
at goodoldgamers.com.
Gmail's goodoldgamers@gmail.com. Our default website email is podcast@goodoldgamers.com.
Okay.
Then our individual emails, Lyle@goodoldgamers, Brandon@goodoldgamers.
Fuck stick at good old gamers.
682-777 good.
Good.
Please. 682-777 good.
Call it.
You know you should.
You know you should. If you don't call us, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We told you enough.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Any questions you got, send them over. We'll be more than glad to answer them.
Yep.
Listen, like, and share. That's a big thing.
Yep.
Get the word out there. Tell your people that don't know about us, all that shit. Get them on the train. Get them to party with us.
Yeah.
You'll be glad you did, like the fucking slogan says. But until... God damn, I'm a little drunk. Until next week, we can get shit together again. Something we like to say around here. Game over, man.
Game over.
Please don't go. The drones need you. They look up to you.